long suffering. When you love, I'm talking about love now. I ain't talking about fascination. I'm talking about love. The real McCoy. The real thing. Huh? Somebody say, what love got to do with everything? Jesus says, it's everything because I'm love. That's the nature, that's the essence of God is love. It's all love. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You know, when you're hooking up with Jesus, your burden ain't as heavy as when you're trying to carry them all by yourself. Huh? When you hook up with Jesus, the burdens get lighter. When you hook up with Jesus. And he's saying that I want you to hook up with me. Because I want you to go shoulder to shoulder with me. And I'm going to be under the burden.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events of the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT. Gina Alexandria.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I
do. One but you. You would be able to say, he did it just for me.
Amen. That's worth giving him praise and glory for.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we bless your name today. We thank you for how you have blessed us and kept us, how you watch over us and keep your angels encamped around us. Lord, how you see in us and see through us and see around us, above us and beneath us and before us. And so, God, we want to say thank you for taking our best interest to heart, knowing, Lord God, that whatever you do is well done, knowing that you have a master plan for our lives. And for that, we say thank you. Now, Lord God, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, challenge us today through your word. We pray that we would give to you the fullness of our attention, that the Holy Ghost speak to us through the text and meet us and minister to us right where we are, and then lift us to the place he'd have us to be. For your glory and our good, in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Bless the Lord. Won't you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. And we want to look at verses 10 and 11. Matthew chapter 21. Verses 10 and 11. And when you get there, I want you to read those two verses. All right? Are you there? Amen. Read. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. This week that we're in, beginning today, which we affectionately call Palm Sunday, begins the last week of Jesus' earthly life and ministry on planet Earth. It is called the Holy Week. And it is in this week that we see or give observation to the things that are on Jesus' mind as he prepares to go to Calvary to pay the awesome price for man's sin and the cost of those penalties. And what is interesting about this week is that there are different details, different accounts of some of the things that Jesus did, and it's in no way indicative of everything he did, but rather enough to show you that he was not sitting there taking it easy his last week in town. He was busily trying to get the work of his Father completed before leaving planet Earth. One of the things that I love about Jesus was that he said, I do always those things which pleases my Father. He said, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And Jesus made sure to fulfill every part of Scripture, cross every T, dot every I, pause at every comma, stop at every period. He made sure to fulfill everything that was necessary for him before he left planet Earth so that he would be glad to say to God, it is finished. And I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when one has been given an assignment, when one has been given a responsibility as grave and as great as Jesus had, his whole life's work, ministry, and desire is to finish it to the pleasing of his Father. And when we look at this story, we know today, Sunday, we call Palm Sunday. I want to back up here again, and then I just want to walk through the word a little while. But what is interesting about this day that starts all of this is the fact that he is coming in what they call this triumphal entry. And he's coming in not like he has come in Jerusalem before, but it's different because of what it symbolizes and how the world or the world of the Jews knew what this great symbolism meant. He knew that if he would come into Jerusalem the way that he's getting ready to come into Jerusalem, that they knew, according to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, that he was saying that the time had come when the Son of David would come in as a riding, conquering king, that he would then be able to overthrow the powers that be and to bring back to that place of strength and privilege back to the people of God, and they would see and believe that God had restored them and brought them back to the place where God had promised them he would bring them. And so when they came to that part to see that, they knew that things were about to change. And so it's interesting because for 3 years and 6 months, the religious groups didn't want nothing to do with Jesus. They didn't want to hear his teachings. They didn't want to hear his ministry. They didn't want to hear of his miracles. They didn't want anything to do with this man called Jesus. And so when we look at this word today, my brothers and sisters, you see in verse 8 and 9, the people start taking their clothes off and lining them in the street, and again, cutting down palm branches and throwing them in the street, doing a service of honor as you would have done with a conquering king coming back in, riding in the town, and everyone subject to him as he's coming by. And so in that, they are making their preparations, talking about Hosanna. Yes, the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest. This was the honor reserved for Jesus when he himself would have this triumphal entry into Jerusalem as he's preparing to win the war of all wars, as he's preparing to wage the greatest war that has ever been forged in human history. And it would happen on Calvary. But the folk who were religious and not righteous didn't see it. First of all, the way he came was wrong. They wanted him to come as a conquering king, decorated in all his regalia, with all of his honors and all of his medals and things showing he was one who was quite successful in his conquest on a stallion, looking pretty and riding around like, don't look up too long at me. And he wanted, wanted to see this kind of leader come in, because what they're thinking about is, if he comes in like that, then that means the Roman Empire and rule is about to be dealt with. And they were looking for a physical deliverance when Jesus was coming to bring them first, a spiritual deliverance. And that's the way it is in our lives here today. Too many of us miss our blessings looking for the physical rather than the spiritual. What they don't understand is that if you get the spiritual first, the physical will follow. If you learn how to trust God for his best, if you learn how to seek God for his best, if you learn the lesson that God has for you in the spirit realm, then everything that's necessary will follow in the physical realm. And so they were not pleased with this. And so I need you to see there were two groups of people there. And whenever you've got dissension, it's usually because you have a minimum of two groups of people. You had the group of people that was called the multitude, and then you had the group of people that was called the city people, if you were. And the city people and the multitudes were two very different groups of people. One thing you need to note is the people who were in the city had a great influx of other Jews who had been removed or who had moved into other areas and other places, who were coming back home for the Passover, who were not really familiar with Jesus, who didn't know Jesus' ministry, had not as of yet heard of Jesus, and they were coming home because they were ordered to come back home and to be counted. And as they are there, they see this parade in verses 8 and 9. And the Bible says, when he came to Jerusalem, listen to what the Bible says. All the city was moved. Moved. Now, when I first read that and I saw it before getting deeper into the text, I said, wow, man, they're all excited about Jesus. They were moved. Then I looked at the New International Version and said, stirred. And the ESV version, the English Standard Version, and it said, stirred. And then I looked at the Amplified and they said, stirred. And as I kept looking, I saw different translations. But then when one got to it and said that they were disturbed, that they were angry, that they were agitated, I said, well, they were moved, but it wasn't in a good way. So sometimes, my brothers and sisters, when people are moved, it ain't always because they're happy for you. So the first thing I need you to see is these two groups of people were there, but first of all, the folk in the city were moved. That means that they were irritated by the parade for Jesus. They were irritated. Why were they irritated? Because I just got through explaining. Those were especially the people who was looking for this to be the day of days where they would see the salvation of the Lord come and he would be the conquering king riding here. But that didn't look like no conquering king. He didn't look like what they had expected him to be. He didn't even carry himself like he was a conquering king. He was too humble and too lowly and too meek. It just didn't look like nobody should be having a parade for somebody like Jesus. It's amazing how folk can pass judgment on you when they don't know you. Jesus is there to bring to them the salvation that his heavenly Father had promised the fathers of old. And all of them had heard about, had read about, had been prophesied about, are now looking for that, and it's right in front of their faces, and they don't see it. Listen at this. So they were irritated by the parade for Jesus. But there's something else I want you to see in the text, and I'm almost through with it. Listen, it's important to see that not only were they irritated by the parade for Jesus, they were not impressed by the person of Jesus. They were not impressed by the person of Jesus. Because they said, who is this? Who? With an attitude. Who is this? They didn't like the idea that they were having a mock parade. They didn't know it was real, but in their eyes, this couldn't be the real thing. All they're going to do is make the Romans mad, and the Romans are going to come down on us when they find out that we're trying to say we're waiting on our real king to come in and deliver us, and all that they're going to go through having to deal with that once Caesar hears this, and they have to go through explaining why did this happen in Jerusalem and going through all of that they would need to go through. It was a disturbing sight to them who did not believe. And they asked, who is this? Why? Because they weren't there when he healed the blinded eyes. They weren't there when he took two small fish and five loaves of bread and fed 5,000 people. They weren't there when he asked the man by the pool of Bethesda, do you want to walk? Do you want to be healed? And when he was waiting for the water to stir, Jesus said, all you got to do is say yes. They weren't there when Jesus cast out demonic spirits out of many of the people of God. They weren't there when Jesus demonstrated his authority over nature and over the storms and the winds and the seas and said, peace be still. And even the winds and the waters obeyed him. And his own disciple says, what manner of man is this? That the seas and the waves and winds obey. They weren't there when he taught the word and broke the word down to the lowest common denominator that some say he speaketh as one having authority. They weren't there when Jesus walked over to Lazarus' grave when he had been stinking 4 days and just called out his name and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he got, are y'all with me here today? They weren't there. So they didn't know Jesus. They did not know his ministry. And they had no idea who he really was. And that as low and humble and meek as he was the most powerful potentate that they would ever lay eyes upon. So my brothers and sisters, verse 11 shouted out, and the multitude, not the folk in the city, the folk who came with him. Listen, and this says something interesting to me because it helps me to realize that after 43 years of preaching the gospel and after 34 years of pastoring, it says to me that everybody that's around you don't know you. Listen to what the Bible says. And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. That's all you got? The prophet from Nazareth? These folk, listen, who heard that probably shared the original mentality of Nathanael when they heard of the discussion Nathanael had. Nathanael wanted to know, is there anything good that can come out of Nazareth? They couldn't fathom that. That made no sense to them. And Nazareth of Galilee, which meant that was another region, and that wasn't even the greatest region. That was the smallest and most insignificant of the two. And so listen at this, my brothers and sisters, and I'm closing. They were not, listen, impressed with the person of Jesus, and nor were they interested in the prophet of Jesus. See, at this point, they knew he would be prophet, priest, and king. But the one they're looking for ain't a prophet. He's not even the priest. They're looking for the king. Are y'all hearing me here? See, at this point, when you throw a celebration like that and you have a parade down the streets of Jerusalem and you're talking about Hosanna in the highest, you need to be talking about the highest, the king. The king. And so they were not interested in a prophet or a priest. They wanted the king and did not know that they were looking at their king. My brothers and my sisters, what a great injustice we do when we choose to look at a part of a person instead of the full person. If they would hear what he had to say, if they could truly see what he really did beyond the miracle. See, so many folk get caught up in the temporary that they miss the permanent. Jesus was not trying to do miracles for the moment. He was trying to help them get an understanding that what I have for you is better than what you're experiencing. And if you get to know me, you can live a life full to overflowing with the blessings of the Lord on a daily basis. Too many of us just look for quick fix. Ooh, I told you, we don't believe, we believe in healing, but we don't believe in health. I'm going to eat up all the hog I can eat up, my pressure go up, and my this, that, the other, that thing. Boy, but if a preacher come through town laying hands, there's a healer in the city, and he's healing. Well, yeah, I'm going to get in that line. Why? Because I believe in healing. But if I believed in health, I'd eat my stuff in portions and properly and all that I need to do. I need to exercise. I need to get my rest. I need to drink my water. I see, that's healthy. Y'all getting quiet on that. If I believed in health, I wouldn't be having to worry about trying to find them healing lines. Look at Benny Hinn. If you look at him on television, whatever, I mean big old stadiums. Pastor Benny, this man here says he has such as a... Or my brother. And, you know, he goes on and say what he got to say, and, you know, go on out. Now, you know, I believe in healing, so I believe God is working miracles and doing that. But here's the problem I have. When he gets his healing, is he going to now start living healthily? Or is he going to go on with the same thing and hoping, Lord, I hope I can catch him next time? See, we need to realize that Jesus wanted the best for us every day in every area of our lives so that we could walk in authority, talk in authority, live in authority, and be everything that he wants us to be in the earth realm. So my brothers and my sisters, in this holy week, he starts off with two crowds, one partially knowing who he is and the other having no idea. But here is what the sad part of this is as I speedily go from Sunday all the way to Friday. Some of the same folk who cried out, he's Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee, turns around and says, crucify. The same ones. Not a different group, not the city group as such, but those who walked up with him, threw their clothes down, cut down palm branches, spread them out in the street, so that he could come across them, and they were some of the same folk who said, crucify. My brothers and my sisters, Jesus died for whosoever will. And I thank God every now and then when I think about this, that he knew all of this was going to happen. He knew who would betray him. He knew who would deny him. He knew who would walk out on him and leave him. He knew all of those things. And yet he did everything he did for whosoever will. And I don't know about you today, but I'm glad I'm in the whosoever will line. And there is a great celebration that those of us who are a part of the whosoever will gang, great coronation, won't have no hypocrites and no fake folk and no phony folk and no put on and no perpetrators and none.